This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, we've been taking you inside the game with a technical study group, analysing every match in Qatar. And now the tournament has entered the last 16, things are getting exciting. Japan versus Croatia has now finished, so let's get back in the car and hear what our experts have to say.
Okay, so we're just leaving the Al Janoub Stadium where Croatia have beaten Japan on penalties to advance to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. I'm joined in the car by Mr. Alberto Zaccheroni, Sunday Olisey, Chris Loxton and Harry Lowe. And Alberto, if we come to you first, can you've obviously managed Japan before, so you had a very keen eye on them today, if you want to give us your thoughts.
I
had lots of fun watching Japan play today because they played with a big heart, they were with a lot of discipline, they were creative, they tried. They went on a 4-3-3 offensively and 5-4-1 defensively. What I liked the most was the compactness of the team and the ability to cover the whole pitch when they were defending. They went on a high press each time they lost the ball, especially in the attacking mode, and tried to win the ball back after. Due to their formation of mostly 3-4-3 positioning style, it helped them a lot when they to cover the whole length of the pitch, and that way they were able to manage it better than the Croatians.
Especially
in the first half, where they were able to have a better grip of the game than the Croatians. Well, due to their physical attributes, they try to go through the middle instead of, because not from the wings. When they went on the counter-attack, they had lots of players involved. They had difficulties negotiating aerial balls. From my point of view, it was a positive performance from them.
Okay, and Sunday, you focused on Croatia for us, but we were all chatting during the game, and what really struck us all was the tactical nature of it, and we even likened it to a bit of a game of chess, that it was so tactical, both teams really working and trying to probe each other and trying to work a way through each other. What was your assessment of Croatia and how they approached that?
Well, I got a feeling like the Croatians came onto the pitch trying to play in a way that's allows them to manage the Japanese opposition. They start off with a 4-1-2-3 style. We could call it a 4-3-3, but you had one sitting defensive midfielder in front of the defense line, and two ahead of those were Modric and Kovacic. And surprisingly, Modric was trying initially in the first half to play up front. When they lost the ball, that's the form they had. That's the form they had, but they tried to be compact without the ball. They tried to shift as a team, but defensively, they were kind of like, they did not position themselves in a way that they could go on a defender by anticipation. So that meant they couldn't win the first ball, they couldn't win the second ball, and even sometimes couldn't win the third one, because they were not really positioned to go into the pressing. There was practically no pressing that they were being done defensively. Offensively, they tried to go by build-ups, by playing short passes between one another and trying to go through the middle and try to pass through it, but not really, really going through the wings much, but they tried that out. And then the second half, they considered at the tail end of the first half, what I saw tactically change they made was that, okay, they decided now to go physical, try to use more aerial balls, try to go more through the wings, and try to, in every situation, now assert themselves physically. Obviously, that gave them from one of the first actions that they attacked in anticipation, running into space, they equalized. What I failed to say was that in the first half, when they had possession, players received the ball static. They were not receiving the ball while in movement, so they were predictable because the Japanese always had them in front of them. The second half, they changed that. They started now going into space, trying to get the balls, and the goal came from a ball that was heading up, and what a great header he got to get in. They continued this way, and Modric dropped now into the front of defense, sometimes to pick up the ball, and then try to dictate the play of the game. This was more like how the game took its shape. I think they decided that, okay, We went on one way. When it didn't work out, now they decided to use the physical one.
And just to pick up on that, what you've said about in the first half, they didn't look like they had the capacity and they weren't close enough to pick up the second balls. And that's exactly how they conceded. From a corner, the ball come back in, second phase, and they just didn't react quickly enough to the loose ball.
Exactly. You couldn't have said it better, because that was it. It dropped and the first one went by, the second one went by, and then the second one was tucked in. But it's kind of like, it's what we've seen a lot from them in this tournament. But they were lucky to come out this time because the opposition also had its own attributes that did not play in their advantage in this kind of a game, which was the physical part. That notwithstanding, the Japanese ran the whole 120 minutes. When they recovered the ball back, they did not attack directly because the strikers were not giving them options to go front in front directly. So they had to it took time to really get into the deep vertical balls.
And obviously the game then goes to penalties, and penalties are a difficult way. They're great for people watching and in neutrals. It's always a great ending to a game. But for teams that are involved in it, it's a difficult way to go out. But it's also a massive pressure to deliver in that big moment, isn't it?
Well, penalties, let's just say, some would call it like playing lotto. You know, you could get lucky, but it's obvious that when you miss the first one, you have...
Which Japan did,
that puts pressure on the team. And I think at the same time also, but that notwithstanding, the Croatians struck each ball except for one. They struck them precisely, decisively. They did not meddle about, they just decided where they were going to hit it, and they struck it there. And I think that played in their advantage.
I'll turn to you, Chris and Harry, in terms of the data and what we saw from that perspective. What really struck you about this game?
Look, for me, only on the penalties, really. The Croatian team are the World Cup penalty shootout kings. They have been involved in 3 penalty shootouts in the World Cup, and they have won all 3. So in 2018 World Cup, they beat Denmark on penalties in the round of 16. They then beat Russia on penalties in Sochi. I was there for that game, in the quarterfinals, and then obviously they beat England in extra time in the semi-final as well. So they're 3 from 3. I think one thing I did notice tonight as well, and I'd be interested to hear Sunday or Alberto's opinion on this, is the first player was Minamino. He was waiting a long time to take that first penalty while the referee was briefing the both goalkeepers about how they have to stay on the line and how it will work. So I don't know, Sunday, I don't know if you were ever involved in a penalty shootout, but he was waiting a long, long time before having to take that first kick. Do you think that had an impact on him?
I think it's horrible when you have to wait. And I'm happy that you singled that out. It's horrible because the fact that you're working up there anyway, the pressure is building. And when you have to wait and do it, sometimes what players do, that when they see that the referee starts to do that, they just walk off. They just walk away. And because they just don't want to be involved in it. And some just look elsewhere. But he wasn't. And I think it's very possible that played a role. We're not looking for excuses, but psychologically it's very difficult to handle.
Absolutely. And I guess Croatia, as you've pointed out, Chris, they have that experience. They maybe have that belief of going into penalty shootouts that they will win because they have the experience of winning them, whereas Japan haven't won. And that can also creep into the psyche.
Japan, 2 penalty shootouts, and they've lost them both in the World Cup. So I think experience shows everything. We talk about experience in the teams. You know, having, if you take England, for example, semi-final in the last World Cup, final in the Euro. You know, we spoke about that for the team in general, but I think the same applies for penalty shootouts. If you're experienced, some players obviously still in the Croatian team from the World Cup in 2018, so of course they come into that experience, and it's a pressure cooker. Sunday, as you just said, they come into that experience, into that moment with experience, and I think that's sometimes can play the difference.
Yeah, and I think belief is a massive part of a penalty shootout. I know from being involved in them myself that when players are focused, believe that they almost develop a resilience, and you have to be able to funnel everything else out to go up, execute the penalty, make your decision, and again, the whether a player is made the decision before they walk up, whether they're making the decision when they get there, all those little things can be a factor.
Yeah, it is. But coming back to what Chris said, you know, Chris gave the statistics as regards, you have the positive experience from the past and the negative one. And in these kind of situations, the team that has had the positive experience, like the Croatians, before now they had won two, and it's in the recent past because it's the last World Cup. That plays a role, we are all humans. And I think at one point the Japanese might have thought also, okay, the first one did not go too well. Is this going to be a second time again? So I think it plays a role.
Well, it was certainly an interesting game in the 120 minutes and the first game of this World Cup that actually went to extra time and to penalties. Maybe we'll see some more of those games. But my thanks to Sunday, Alberto, and to Chris for your contribution to the discussion on what was an intriguing game this evening. That's it from us, and we will talk to you again very, very soon.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Centre. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcentre.com.